So I thought today we'd take a closer look at Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Partially in getting ready for today and thinking about the things that I'm thankful for, one of the things that I'm very thankful for are Armin and Nancy Bodie. And I know that this is one of Nancy's favorite. And I know she would love to be here with us today. And I know she will be listening to this as soon as it's available. So, Nancy, we love you. We miss you. And we're very thankful for you. So, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Didn't really know a lot about the story behind the story until I got into it. But curiously enough, it goes back to a piece of personal correspondence. And if you'll remember last time, we talked about it as well with my soul. And the story there began with a telegram back. Well, this started with a great poem that was written by a fellow by the name of Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. And Thomas was a very sick man. He was ill frequently, and because of his illness, he was often unable to work. And when he was able to work, he often had to work two or three jobs in order to make enough money to take care of himself when he wasn't working. And during one of these bouts of illness, he was writing a good friend of his a series of letters. And in one of these letters was a poem. And he's writing to this friend while he's on a mission trip. So again, here's a guy who's frequently sick, often can't work. And when he's able to work, he's working two or three jobs to make sure he's making his ends meet. And so now he's on a mission trip. And again, just the comparison of these folks compared to our society today. You know, today we're so inwardly drawn, and it's so easy to just kind of feel sorry for ourselves. But these guys were out there making a name for themselves. And you know, when you look at the lyrics here, you're thinking, "Great is thy faithfulness." Oh, you think, "Well, this, you know, it's all these these and thys and thous." This must have been written back in the 15, 16, 1700s. This was actually written in the early 1900s. A series of correspondence around 1930, 1940. So he's writing to this friend, and his friend happens to be a musician who turns the poem from one of these letters into a song. I wonder, 100 years from now, how many texts or emails will have turned into Cornerstone's Hymns of the Faith. We lose a lot with the written word. The written word is powerful, and we lose a lot with that correspondence. And that was kind of a telling notice for me when I consider how many letters I've written in the last year compared to how many emails and texts and Facebook statuses I've written in the last year. So the musician writes that, and like most musicians, his work and his genius isn't recognized immediately. In fact, it kind of languishes. No one really kind of takes on to it. But George Beverly Shea in 1945 uses it in the Billy Graham Crusade. And the rest, as they say, is history. Because if you know anything about Billy Graham, that was in his heyday. That was, you know, when he was doing it all the time and just literally speaking before thousands. And this song rapidly became one of the most popular and well-loved hymns of the faith that just transcends denominational lines. You go into a traditional mainline denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, this hymn's in their hymn books. You know, and that to me is the mark of a great hymn, when it transcends those denominational lines. So let's take a closer look at these lyrics. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Okay, so the first line is just stating out a statement of fact. God's faithfulness is great. I mean, you think about that. How many times has he let us down? Never. How many times has he turned away from us? Never. How many times has he forsaken us? Never. He's always faithful. He's always faithful. In the second line, there is no shadow of turning with these. Very rich line, metaphorically speaking. kind of two images come to my mind as I read that line. One is one of a celestial body, like a moon or a planet. You know, we see the phases of the moon, and the reasons the phases of the moon change is because the orbits and the rotation of the Earth and the moon change so that the part that gives off light, the moon itself doesn't give off light, it's merely reflecting the light of the sun. Ooh, there's an analogy. It's merely reflecting the light of the sun, but to us, it appears like it's turning. And so when the moon is dark, there's a shadow, because it appears that the light has turned from us. There is no shadow of turning from God. He never turns away from us. He never turns away from us. It's the image of a man or a father or one who's an authority who's always facing us. And unlike a king or a president or a football coach, this great person never turns away from us. He's always facing us, giving us leadership, giving us direction, giving us hope, which is just fantastic. It also brings to mind a line. Bob Hartman was the last original member of Petra to leave the band. And he started in like 74 and stayed with the band until like 96. I mean, it's a long time to be in a rock and roll band. The man can write some wonderful lyrics. He wrote the song Thankful Heart that we sung earlier. One of his lyrics that I love from one of his songs is that we can take 1,000 steps away, but it only takes one step back. But notice the faithfulness of God. He's never turned away from us. He never said, well, you took 1,000 steps away from me, so come on back. That's only 200. You got 800 to go. Nope, he's just looking for us to turn back. He's always faithful, always there for us. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. We've seen the thous before. We know that's a fancy way of saying you. Wilt. It's not talking about what's happening to our flowers now. It's a fancy way of saying will. God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. One of Chisholm's favorite verses was Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love for us, we are not consumed. For His compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. And you can just see how this passage of Scripture just runs through this entire hymn. Which is another reason why I love these old hymns. They're so theologically dense. There's so much to pull apart here. And they point back to Scripture. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above. The seasons declare, and the heavenly bodies are declaring the works of the Lord. And again, this to me touches back on the previous lyric, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Unlike the sun and the moon and the stars and the other planets, their courses have never turned away from us. God never turns away from us, but these other planets do. And human beings have known that there have been planets out there for a long time. The ancient Romans knew of 5 planets that they could see and tell just with the naked eye. I mean, think about that. And so humans have been very familiar with celestial bodies and their movement throughout the heavens. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Manifold, we're not talking about an engine block. Here, manifold literally means having many forms or elements. I was really hoping there'd be some really neat Latin connection here, but unfortunately it's French. This line reminds me of Luke 19:40, that if we don't declare the works and the greatness of Jesus Christ, that even the rocks will declare it for us. So we don't have to declare God's greatness. Nature does that. We're seeing that right now in the fall, the harvest. The beauty of fall, as that's turning into winter, but winter in its own right has a beauty to it. Especially if you've ever woken up to a couple inches of snow and you weren't expecting it. There's a beauty in that moment that we have. And it's easier for us to have it because we have snow so infrequently. So it's, I love how even us adults get all giddy about snow here in the South. But every season has its own season of beauty. And nature is constantly declaring that. Great is thy faithfulness. Again, thy is a fancy way of saying your. This is the theme of the song. It's the theme of the song. And it's easy to get, just like when we talked about the last time I was up here, it's so easy just getting into the rhythm of the song that you blow past the awesomeness of this line. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we do a lot of Bible recitations at Caldwell, and in part of time, it just kind of drives me nuts when I see the kids reciting scripture because they're describing it like this, and they talk like this, and there's no joy in their voice at all. And it irritates me somewhat as a teacher until I realize it's just copying us. You know, if you've ever been in a liturgical church that does a lot of call and responses, yeah, I know that there's a lot of folks very familiar with the Methodist church. Methodists do it a lot. I grew up Methodist, so I say this with great love when I say what I'm about to say. But you've been in the service? Rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice and give thankness to Him for His wonderful and His... You know, we do that, don't we? Don't we? We lose fact of the awesomeness of God. Little slogan I saw on Facebook running around the other day. Sometimes, you know, Facebook is just a colossal waste of time. And sometimes it gives you some really neat aha moments. But the aha moment I had was, what if you woke up today with only the things that you thanked God for yesterday? What if you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday? I want y'all to keep that in mind, especially when Brad gets up here to ask you how God blessed you last week. And some of us have no problem coming up, stepping forward, and sharing. That's great. You guys are awesome. A lot of us are scared to death of this thing for some reason. I don't know why. What are you thankful for? And what if you didn't have it tomorrow, if you failed to thank God for it? Thank goodness we don't have to. Another testimony to His greatness. You know, the more I parent, the more I teach, the more I get a better understanding of who God is. And the more I am really glad that God is God and I am not. Because as a parent and as a teacher, sometimes I just get so fed up or irritated or frustrated with kids. And I love them. And they're awesome. But God is so much better of a father than I am. God is so much better of a teacher than I am. And thank goodness for that. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. And this line definitely reflects back to the Lamentations. You know, the mercies are new every morning. And it also, to me, is reminiscent of Philippians 4:19. God will provide your every need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I've heard it said before, God's going to provide for you. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He also owns the hills. He made them. They're His. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Again, I love this line because it's personal. We sing this corporately as a group. And I think a lot of times, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, sometimes we're okay intellectually and on a heart level of saying God came and died to save humanity or for the world. But we have trouble accepting that personally for some reason. I think part of that is our sin nature. It's us buying into the lie that we're not worth it. That we're so messed up. We've made so many mistakes. If they really knew how awful I was, they wouldn't even let me in the door. How could God love me? So, I mean, God loves you guys. He loves everybody, but not me. So, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. It's unto me. It's not just the world. It is for the world. It's not just for humanity. It is for humanity. But it's for me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Pardon is a legal term. You've been let off the hook. Your debt is paid. You know, for me, I always conjure up the old spaghetti western films where the rider comes in a cloud of dust. The governor's granted your pardon. You're free to go. Just as the guy's getting ready to stretch out. And that's what God, that's what Christ did for us. The wages of sin are death. We deserve death. pardon for those sin, and a peace that endureth. It's a fancy way of saying endure. Peace doesn't end. It's ongoing. It's not something we feel now and then it's over with. It's ongoing. It doesn't end. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Don't miss the moment here. God the Creator, the being who created the heavens and the earth, everything that we know and everything that we see, His presence is here to cheer you, to guide you at a personal level. The Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, is here for you. And again, it just astounds me. And in my frailty, in my limited human ability, I can't fathom that. Why He would. Maybe in glory I'll understand that one day. And the more I get to know Him, the more I get to know this at a deeper level. And the more it comforts me so. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. God gives you what you need for today. Your daily bread. Your manna. Just what you need for today. But it doesn't stop here. There's a bright hope for tomorrow. There's no need to doubt His provision. And yet we do. We cluck our tongues at the Israelites, the ones who, why were they correct? Collecting extra manna and extra quail. God told them not to. Those Israelites. We do it all the time, don't we? When God has just pulled us through a fantastic ordeal, where He has delivered us in such a way that clearly only God could have done it. And I don't know about you, but the next time the ordeal comes up, I'm too quick to say, how are we going to get through this one? How soon I forgot. There's no reason to doubt His provision for tomorrow. I don't know what today holds. I have no idea what's going to happen to me today. I don't know how the day is going to end. I have an idea how I want it to end. What I'd like to see have happen. But the reality is, I don't know. Neither do you. But God's going to give you what you need to get through today. And there is a bright hope knowing that it's going to be there for you tomorrow. Again, there is no shadow of turning. He's not leaving. He's not going away. Blessings all mine with 10,000 aside. Again, notice the personal power of the lyrics. The blessings are yours, individually. This line reminds me of the first line of the last stanza of Amazing Grace for some reason. That the number 10,000 just jumped out at me. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know, 10,000, you know, when we talk of deficits and billions and trillions, 10,000 doesn't really seem that much. But consider what $10,000 would have meant to someone in a 1930 economy. The number 10,000 is huge if you just consider that. So that's Great Is Thy Faithfulness.